Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki. I am so grateful to be here with you tonight. We discuss issues to help you walk your soul's pilgrimage in your own authentic way. Sharing the path with your angels and spiritual guides gives you the comfort and security of always knowing you are not alone. You are invited to visit my website at livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal, a place of self-discovery. The show airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Call in or just listen during our inspirational discussions from guests around the world and from Dr. Vicki, a counselor of law and spirituality. And now, Living Your Soul's Journey. Well, hello and welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey this beautiful Sunday evening. It has been a very busy and productive and rather challenging week of energies, especially outside my home, which has created a great opportunity for me personally to use my extensive energy resources, which brings me to my special guest this evening. It's very interesting because she is a feng shui master. And we're going to talk about that in case anybody wants to know what that means. We'll get into that. She has lived a very busy corporate life while at the same time pursuing her feng shui. So she has worked with thousands of people throughout her lifetime. And, you know, there's some health issues, too, that we're going to get into that Diana has endured, if you may, or survived beautifully. So welcome, Diana Garber, this evening with Intuitive Concepts. How are you?
Thank you, Dr. Vicki. I'm doing fabulous. If I were any better, I probably wouldn't be walking the earth.
Oh, I love it. You know, in preparation for this evening, I have heard the word feng shui many years in my lifetime. I have books and, you know, I'm certainly never studied it, but it was very interesting because I went ahead and looked up the definition of feng shui, and I'm going to read it, and I want to get your concept of it compared to what you do. It is a Chinese philosophical system of harmonizing everyone with their surrounding environment. Does that sound right to you?
Yes, the literal translation of feng shui is wind and water. It is that which shapes our earth. And of course, you exhale and I breathe in. So it is about our environment. Because of my background in risk management, I used to manage disaster recovery and business continuity for a Fortune 100 company. And really, disaster means something happened, something broken, it needed to be fixed or repaired. Continuity means looking forward and being proactive. And for me, feng shui is energy management. There's the energy of the mind, the body, the spirit, faith, friends, social community. And so I think the world would be a better place if we realized that every thought, deed, and action produces a ripple effect. So, again, for me, it is managing our energies.
That is so beautifully said, and I just want to make a statement about that because this week, Diana, and I live out in the country in the North Georgia Mountains, and it has been a very, when I say challenging, I mean challenging, because you come out to the country, you know, when, and I don't know what that noise was, but that was interesting. Did you hear that?
I did.
Yes, very interesting. It's like little bells, a very strong bell. And I had the most wonderful opportunity to bring all of these feng shui principles, if you may, I call them, you know, my energies, to the neighborhood because there was an explosion of energies amongst people. And it brings me, because my home is for sale, and someone else's home is for sale, and there were a lot of issues with that. And we went into, two of us anyway, went into a very pro-solution viewpoint. And I have a system that I use to bring energies together in a peaceful way. Now, the reason why I bring this up is you work a lot with all over the world, as I understand it, working with people in their homes, correct?
I do commercial and residential. So, yes, I do work with people in their homes. One of the stress factors of the land with authentic feng shui, which goes back thousands of years, there's different types of feng shui, but with authentic feng shui, the evaluation of Mother Earth and the energy of the land is the starting point. And then we look at man's impact to the land, which are buildings, roads, bridges, telephone poles, all of that. And then looking at people in the space. And so doesn't matter where we live, whether in the city or the country, there's energy that supports us and there's energy that doesn't.
Correct. Yes. Now, it's interesting because I know personally, being an energy worker myself, that there's a lot of it's actually beautiful what's happening here. Now, this particular house that I'm in has had all of the stress factors, and it's had this whole program done on it, and it helps the neighbors too. But
Absolutely.
one of the reasons, and what is happening is people are moving in and moving out now, so the energies are changing. And the control issues that some people have. And how do you work with that? The reason why I bring all this up is that you have such a wonderful reputation, Diana, of working with people. So I want to just bring one attention first, and then I want to get to something else. If you were to work with a family, person, family, in a very tight-knit city, and they say lived in a condo where they had a lot of people right next to them. I mean, actually sharing the same wall. Now, can you give us just, not going into detail, of course, because that's your, it would take, I know that it would take a long time to get all that done, but
That's lots of radio shows.
But I mean, just generally speaking, if someone's listening and they're saying, well, how could she help me? I mean, what could she do for me? I've got neighbors on top of me. I've got neighbors on the side of me and down below. I'm on the, maybe they're on the third or fourth level in New York City or something. So.
Well, and that's the thing. People in single family households are the rarity in cities and in other countries, especially as the population grows. They are going to be in apartments and condos and flats and so forth. So, with classic feng shui, it's all based on formulas and algorithms. So, I take a look at the energy of the building. And then specifically where the apartment or condo is in that building, so that we can understand what energies support us and what energies hinder us. And I think that this is a good analogy. I've worked with Ohio State University, and I was actually on faculty with them as their feng shui practitioner and a clinical instructor. And I thought, how do I explain feng shui to the evidence-based mindset? And so when I was asked to do grand rounds, which is the educational forum between physicians and residents, the way I explained it is, if you take the human cell and you put it into a nurturing environment, it will survive and thrive. If you take the human cell and you put it into a hostile environment, it's going to struggle and sometimes die. That's feng shui. So that's why, to your question, to take a look at the energy of the entire building, which when you run the formulas and you sit down with someone and you say, here's what's going on, here's when it started, here's who it's, supporting, or here's who it's attacking. A lot of times people will say, did you talk to my neighbor? How could you know that? So, it's a pretty precise science. But if you think of, so one of the tools that I use is a compass. And so if you think of there's north, northeast, east, southeast, all the different compass directions, think of that in regards to people in a building. If every person who was, let's say there's one person in each direction, if they didn't have a common language, how would they be able to communicate? So what feng shui brings to the table is And again, this is an analogy, but let's say feng shui brings in some beautiful music. Well, the person in the north sees the person in the south and they're swaying to the music. Well, there's a form of communication there. And then you introduce some type of cuisine. And then, you know, eventually people have the incentive to learn the language or learn ways to communicate. So, gosh, I have extra sugar. You need sugar? I'll give you sugar, honey. Kind of thing. So what feng shui does is it looks at all of the energies, and then you talk with the client, and it's like, well, I want more of this. Gosh, I'm not experiencing that. Well, that's because we've got some negativity here that is suppressing, you know, the positive energy. You know, it's keeping that flower from feeling the sun and being able to grow and being able to experience the nurturing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Because, you know, I know that they're... That's beautiful. And that would also encompass the homes that are close by as well, even though their walls are not touching. But there's an energy now that, like, for the, you know, that encompasses all of that area.
Well, there's a community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the community of, and I'm looking at your picture here, you know, you've got the rocks, you've got the water, you've got the trees. All of that is part of the community. And we've lost sense of that. You know, we think of, you know, community as, you know, people in the buildings. Well, nature was around a lot longer than we've been around. And so, you know, one of those communication partners would be working with nature.
Mm-hmm. I want to share a story. Now, I don't know that, I'm not saying that you work this way, but I just want to share a beautiful story with you. For years, Diana, I live in a big house up on the hill in the North Georgia Mountains, and I have had a lot of energy work done on it, you know, to clear it out. I've had, you know, stagers, people to come by when the house was on the market earlier. Mm-hmm. But there was something that occurred that, and this is just my experience, and this may sound strange to some people, but many other people will understand. No one was ever able to get the camaraderie of the house with the nature, with the whole entities of everything. Now, you know, the deer come up and, you know, I have a beautiful place here that have a lot of, you know, the trees and the nature and the living crows that I'm looking at right now. But there were two, there was a home person that lived here that was part of this home from the time that it was built. Nobody acknowledged that entity, if you may. And then there was a Indian maiden that lived out on a rock from, you know, from the times that this was Indian land, where I live, was completely Indian land before the Great Years. Mm-hmm. And no one ever communicated with those. And once that Indian maiden was communicated with, everything came together. Mm-hmm. So now, I don't know if you get into that type of experience, but when you mentioned nature, I had to say something, because that was when the energies of my home personally shifted, was when, you know, they were remembered and acknowledged, if you may.
Well, I get calls quite frequently to deal with spirits, energies, entities. I do not hire out to do that work. However, when I'm working with the feng shui of a site, when it comes up, I absolutely do work with it. But it has to be approached holistically, you know, versus in isolation. And similar to your experience, I have clients that were in Michigan. And when I was, one of the processes I use is called dowsing. When I was dowsing the land to look for geopathic stress, I was greeted by an Indian maiden, and she had me look into the center of the lake. And when I looked into the center of the lake, I saw literally hand coming up, you know, like back in the Guinevere days. And these people weren't the kind of people who were comfortable with those kind of things. So I had to think about how to, you know, communicate with this. But, you know, once I was there and I was able to acknowledge her, their experience of the space improved dramatically.
I, I can understand that because, you know, living this soul's journey that we have on our planet, regardless of how you're doing it, and in your beautiful way, you're helping people with your feng shui energy mastership. And when you mentioned that about the nature, I mean, Doug and I have mentioned this earlier, he's the other engineer, is that we have, and you mentioned it earlier, we have almost forgotten about the beautiful crows and just all of the, I'm sitting outside looking now at rocks that have been weathered and probably thousands of trees. And it is so much a part of my living in my life, and the buds, the trees are budding. And I can't even imagine not incorporating that into your living space. It's like, for instance, Diane, we are moving to we have to sell this house, but once it's sold, we're moving to a home. I don't care what the home looks like because I'm looking for the surroundings. Mm-hmm. I look for the neighbors. I get the sense of the neighbors. I get the sense of course, that can change, but I get the sense of the land because that won't change unless there's a earthquake or something. You know what I mean? But I'm just fascinated. Now, there's one thing that you mentioned, and I want to bring this up. You worked the command centers for the New York terrorist attack. How did you help them? So that, you know, this is fascinating to me that, you know, so people really understand how you can help with that nature and catastrophic situations.
Well, I was, as I mentioned, at a Fortune 100 company, and I was over all of the IT, which was at the time, I think it was 65,000 workstations and 2,500 servers. So when the New York terrorist attack happened, you know, I talked with my peers, and you know, we even discussed evacuating the office towers in other cities because we didn't know if this was going to be an isolated event. And they trusted my call that I felt, and I couldn't say this as a VP, I couldn't say my intuition says this. You don't make decisions based on that. I do, but you know, management wouldn't be comfortable with it. But we decided not to evacuate the other buildings. But my work there was not about feng shui.
Oh, okay. Because I was incorporating that in there, and I was trying to figure that out. I wasn't sure if you were looking at the stress factors or what was happening there. Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. So now, I love the message that you have, and I actually put it on Facebook when I was intuitive concepts that I was, you know, introducing you on my part of the Facebook. And you have a statement that says, manage your environment consciously, or it unconsciously manages you. Mm-hmm. I love that. I know that you have it copywritten because it is such a true statement.
It is.
Talk to us a little bit about how you came to learn this, because you have it in the same paragraph as your surgeries and the death, near-death experiences. So I figured it had something to do with that.
Well, building off of that, I've had 20 major surgeries, meaning general anesthesia. I've died twice. I've had several children, and I have one living child. So one of the ways I have managed my energy was not to become a victim, you know, was to take the tragedy and learn from it and try to help others and give back. And of course, that's been a huge part of my feng shui journey. I mean, I'm literally a walking miracle. That's why I got started in feng shui, was I wanted to live. But traditional medicine, you know, which is still a part of my life, I mean, these surgeries were years and years and years ago. But at that time, traditional medicine just kept taking things from me. And so I was exploring alternative medicine and was quite seriously thinking about becoming a naturopath. But my mom is from Australia. And so Australia is right near Asia. And pretty much, you know, the Asian society, they know that this works. They've practiced it for thousands of years. And as I mentioned earlier, there's different forms of feng shui, and I think it's wonderful that anybody's attracted and even thinking about working with their environment. But for me, this was the one that was the most logical and the most methodical. And so that's one way that I have tried to manage my energy. And I think that's true even in regards to, and I know you're a proponent of this, abundance attracts abundance and negativity attracts negativity. So if you're not managing your thought process from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, then others will manage it for you.
That's right. Well, here's a good example. If you were to go to someone's home, Diana, and they wanted you to, you know, work on the stress factors, they wanted you to work on their environment for whatever reason, just so that they can have a peaceful life. Mm-hmm. And let's just say that the people before them, now I'm going to, I'll use the house above me for a good example. Those people sold their home about 2 years ago, but they were going through a divorce. Now, if someone came into that home and bought it, which someone did, by the way, they would have to, you as a feng shui master would have to talk to them, wouldn't you, about the energies that have been left there in that home? How would you do that with someone? I mean, if they're hiring you, they would certainly understand that those energies could be persistent in that house, correct? They would understand that?
Every breath, every action goes into the carpeting, into the drywall, even for new builds. You know, when I'm working and helping to design a house, you know, I go in on a very frequent basis and I will do a space cleansing, because if, let's say, the carpenter, you know, the night before had an argument with a daughter or a spouse or whatever that is, and they're still upset by that, when they show up at the job, they bring that energy with them. So, and that, you know, even thinking about going out to a restaurant, you know, if the dishwasher person is upset, that energy goes into the food, goes into the plates, goes into the water. If the chef is upset, if the server is upset. So everything we do has a form of energy to it. So to your point, yes, that energy is there. You know, a lot of times people will call and say, well, you know, just give me a, you know, a quick tip on, I want to look for a house. Well, I mean, the logical thing is try to talk to the neighbors, because if people had a good experience, then that implies good energy. If there was violence, abuse, then there's probably some negative energy that needs to be changed. Yes. And that's the thing. A lot of the books, feng shui books, will say, well, what's the fix? What's the cure? Well, you don't fix or cure energy. you negotiate with it, mm-hmm. You know? And so when you are able to negotiate and it is willing to give up some of its hold, then it changes things literally at a quantum level. I had a he's literally a nuclear scientist. He was living in California. He worked at the San Onofre nuclear plant and had a home that he was building in New Mexico. So he sent me the blueprints and sent me the keys and said, you know, I haven't been there for a couple months, but, you know, if you get there and it's starting to get dark, get into the house, because the, you know, the wolves are big enough, they'll drag you away, kind of thing. And oh, by the way, we've got, you know, centipedes that are venomous, and there's probably spiders. And so anyway, I flew into Albuquerque and rented a car and drove out to where he lives. And when he joined me the next day, and I said, you know, well, here's the energy of your house, and even though you don't live here full time, let me ask you, are you having difficulty at work to where, you know, you're doing a really great job, but you're managing people and you have the responsibility, but you don't have the authority, and people are backstabbing you, and you probably haven't had a stable relationship? And he was dumbfounded. And he's like, how could you possibly know that? And I said, well, it's kind of the energy of the house. And the good news is, once we've identified it, now we can start to work with it. We can start to negotiate. So he had a napkin, and he drew two lines on it, basically making four squares. And so in the first square, he put Newtonian physics, you know, and then in the second square, he put in, I don't know all the physics, but I still have the napkin. But in the third square was quantum physics. And he said, based on the analysis that I was doing, I was working at a quantum physics level. When we are able to get the energy to change, it changes everything around it. And so, you know, you got to figure out what's there to know what you have to work with and what you don't have to work with. And what you don't have to work with, you know, bring it in, you know, figure it out. So that's how I go in. So somebody who, you know, got divorced, guess what? You know, once you run the numbers, once you do the formulas and the algorithms, there's energy that can provoke abuse. And it can be as finite as physical abuse, mental abuse, drug abuse. There's energy that actually encourages divorce. There's energy that encourages affairs. There's cancer energy. Well, where is that? Well, if it's in the Northwest, it's probably brain cancer. If it's in the Southwest, it's probably OBGYN, you know, female body parts type of cancer. You know, unfortunately, there's even death energy. So once we've identified that, then we can help to shift that energy so people have a better experience of the space.
Yeah, I mentioned. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, I just was going to, you go ahead. I was going to ask you something, but I'll wait.
Well, I mentioned geopathic stress as, you know, one of the things. It's actually not feng shui, but it complements feng shui. So when people live on or near geopathic stress, and I know you're familiar with this because you had your ley lines for your property looked at, but I have a fantastic article out on my blog. I think that's such a weird word, blog, but out on the blog to where it was MDs, medical doctors, that did research. And they said that 70% of patients that have passed over from cancer were chronically exposed to geopathic stress. They felt that most of the divorces, either one or both people, were chronically exposed to geopathic stress. So that's why I say we have to start with the land. Geopathic stress happens in the land. Well, if you put a building on that and you haven't remedied it, if it exists, you know, you're kind of pushing a string. You know, people go to their physicians to be helped and healed and coached. But if you then return home to an environment that's sick, you basically mitigate it. So, yes. You know, you just keep repeating this pattern, repeating this cycle. We got to break that chain.
Well, that's what I meant. That's not the question I had, but that brought me to something else, because that's the communication that someone has. Now, I know when you would go in, Diana, and you would clear a space, those are my terms, but you would also, wouldn't you have to teach the person that, okay, the next time, though, that you get angry or the next time that you have an upset, those energies got to be cleared, too. I mean, it's like, I know you're following me. I want to make it clear, though. It's like you can't just clear something once. I know geopathically you can. But when you're clearing a space in someone's home, they still have to keep that energy. And I think that's why you mentioned the feng shui of emotions, the energies of emotions and stability, because you have to keep those stable.
Well, it goes back to manage your environment consciously. Right. Right. Or unconsciously, it will manage you. Yes. It's not a one-time process. You know, just because you went to the dentist or the doctor 2 years ago doesn't mean that that headache or that toothache isn't going to come back. We have to be proactive. We have to be champions in our own life.
Yes. Well, a beautiful story happened in the home that I'm in now. years ago. The downstairs was very negative. I had someone staying down there. There were a lot of upsets. There was, who knows what happened in the home before, you know, before I bought it. And all of a sudden, the pipe burst, Diana, and on the second floor. And when we arrived home, the whole downstairs was flooded. To make a long story short, the whole downstairs had to be gutted. And when they were redoing, and by the way, the person that redid it was an energy person, not like you are, but they at least understood energy a little bit more than your typical contractor. When they were working on the downstairs and opening up all the flooring and the ceiling and the walls, I had to leave because the energies were so upsetting that I had to leave the house, do my energy work, clear the space every single day that they were working there. Because all of that, and I hope I'm making sense to the folks that are listening, because I don't want to create an upset here. I just want people to be aware that the work that you do is so powerful, because energies, like you said, are in the walls and space. And people would say, yes, but nobody lived down there for a couple of years. Mm-mm, that energy was still there. Now, when we go downstairs, Diana, it's like we've got a pool table down there. We go out and have fun. You know, we have windows up where all those walls were. And the whole place is like a completely different space. Same in the same location.
That's wonderful.
Different place. But it took the we just didn't go down there. It took the bursting of the pipes. And haven't you ever heard that sometimes that the energies get so heavy and if all of a sudden something will burst?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. People say, oh my gosh, you know, of course I had insurance, thankfully, but if you didn't have insurance, I guess that would be stressful. Very stressful. But at the same time, if it releases the negative energies, sometimes that's not so bad.
Well, and I have a good example of that. I got a call from a lady who, there's this, you know, really great house and I'm getting such a good deal on it. And I said, well, what's the history of the house? It was the Menendez house.
Who's that?
Where the Menendez boys killed their parents.
Okay. Yes, boy, I tell you.
Yeah, you remember that case?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So she called me and she's like, you know, what can I do to fix the energy here? And so I said, you know, if you're asking me to consider working on this, I have two criteria. And you need to know this is the commitment that you're going to need to make. And she's like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. And I said, well, then I'm not the person for this job.
I want to take this caller and then I'll talk about that. We have a caller, Diana. Sandy, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Yes, I am. And I actually have three questions and I want to hang up and just take notes. And
hi,
I don't
Sandy.
Want to stay on the line because I'm afraid I'll start coughing. Okay. Getting over a bronchitis. Anyway, how do you manage your thought process is number one, and how do you always create good energy, number two, and how in the world do you negotiate with energy? And I want to just hang up and listen to you now.
Well, I tell you, you got some three big questions for Diana. Those are great questions.
Some big ones, and she's absolutely genius. Also, another reason for wanting to hang up is she is so smart, I'm afraid she'll ask me something and I'll have to show my ignorance. So.
That's sweet. Sandy, would you repeat those questions again? I'm writing them down.
I'm happy to. How do you manage your thought process? And how do you always create good energy? And how in the world do you negotiate with energy? And also, I guess a fourth one would be, is there any one book that could be utilized in order to do meditations or anything at all, I would appreciate help growing more spiritual and stronger as a being.
Those are fabulous questions, and thank you for asking, because if you have those questions, somebody else does too. So you're basically sharing in their empowerment and education.
Well, I appreciate you so much, and I'm going to just listen to you now.
Thank you, Sandy.
Bye.
So the first question on how to manage our thought process, it is something that takes a lot of work. You know, if we think about going through a day, for me in the evening, you know, as I'm going to bed, I try to acknowledge what went right about the day, because there's lots of things that don't go right. It's just, and to your second question, how do you create good energy? You decide where you're going to put your energy. So if you had 10 things that didn't go right that day, but you had one that did, focus on the positive. You know, we have those people who say nasty things to us, but yet there's a lot of people who love and support us. But where do we focus our energy? On the negative. So make it a choice. If you think that, if you choose that every thought affects your being, don't give your energy to the energy leeches, because there's lots of them out there that will take it. They'll do anything to get under the goat, to get a reaction, whether they think it's funny or whatever that is. Focus on the positive. So that would be my first suggestion, is at, you know, whether you have a journal or you go through the day, is concentrate on the positives of that day. You know, the news, there's plenty of confirmation as to what isn't going on in the world, you know, that isn't working. So we have to think about our sphere of influence, our friends, our family, our faith, and make choices about keeping things, you know, positive flow. But if you think of every decision you make in regards to, is it helping or is it hurting? Choose helping, and that energy will come back to you tenfold. Sorry, it goes back again to manage your environment consciously or unconsciously. It manages you. Choose where you put your energy. One of the things that I've learned over the course of my life, and I'm in my 60s, is that nobody can make us happy but us. We give our power away. You know, when we claim that power, and not in any threatening way, but just to say, you know what, I'm not happy, but I'm the one who can do something about it. It's very, very empowering. How do you negotiate with the energy? Well, part of it is diagnosing the energy. Just like when you go to the physician's office, you know, you might have a cough, but they need to run tests and they need to figure out, you know, what is the root cause, not what is the symptom. So many times people treat the symptoms, they don't treat the root cause. So you can't negotiate with the energy until you know what the energy is. You know, we got to suppress the negative energy so that the positive energy can blossom. And we have to figure out where that balance or imbalance is. In regards to books, on my website, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, I actually have a recommended reading list. And there's many, many books out there. There's books on reinventing ourselves. There's books on our thought processes. There's, as an example, one of my favorite books is called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I love it because we are so not present in our own life. And when I read this book, it gave me the language, it gave me the verbiage to be able to express it. So let me share just a snippet with you. The human being has an average of 16,000 thoughts a day. Well, the brain tries to categorize those thoughts. Normally, it can only associate with the past or with the future. The future is unknown, so that usually comes out of a fear reaction, and the past is about judgment. Which then, what does that mean to the present? Because the present is really the only thing that counts. The present is really the only thing that we can manage. So that goes back to, you know, when a thought comes in, if it's not a positive thought, thank you very much, but I choose to think of it this way. And then now you're active in your own life. I hope that answered your questions okay. And thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, those are great questions, Sandy. And I hope you're feeling better. I want to comment on the section, the question two. And Diana, one of the ways that I personally help myself, because I, you know, it's so typical when you've had a long day and 100 things went right and 2 things went wrong that you get all caught up in the web of what went wrong. I stop at night before I even think of going to sleep. And I have a blessing book. It's just a book that I get at Ross's or just a regular store.
Sure.
I write down everything that I was in gratitude for. And it's typically very simple things like I have a bed to sleep in. I am peaceful. I'm at peace. I don't have I have no problems. You know, yes, I had that situation. But overall, if you like, I love what you said. Focus on what you do have. There are people that are going through miserable times right now. And, mm-hmm. and I'll give you an example. The lady that lives right down, and I've done this whole, the geopathic part of it, but I need to probably spend more energy on it. But she's selling her home just as I am. And I sometimes I get a little pity party, you know, that the house hasn't sold yet. It's selling. And yet I look down, I look at their house and, you know, she's got MS, he's got ill, they can't work, they have no way to pay their mortgage, and they have this beautiful home on sitting on top of the mountain. And I'm thinking, you're going to complain, Vicki, about anything? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. we don't realize how in living in the now, I need to get that book out again. The Power of Now is a powerful book. Now, I want to ask you some questions, just simple questions about feng shui.
I could just jump in here real quick, because out on my website, Sandy, if you go to the feng shui education tab, that's where the recommended reading list. And there's literally dozens and dozens of books. So, Vicki, you just said something that, you know, I would like to share, because Sandy asked. I have a daily ritual. I don't keep a journal any longer, but I do go through a mental process at the end of every day. And let me give you a couple examples of how I presence gratitude. You know, I say, thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for our health. Thank you for clean water to drink. Thank you for healthy food to eat. Thank you that I'm able to take care of others. Thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon me that I can help others. Thank you for our home. I mean, we could go through a litany of what we're grateful for. It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be something very small. But the fact in expressing gratitude and saying thank you brings more to us.
Yes. Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Now, I want to make a comment. This is just some information that I've heard through the years, Diana, is that when you are buying a home, which, of course, once you bought it, you can't change this, but facing south, that the old philosophy of the Chinese is that you have better luck if your home faces south or southeast or southwest or something. Talk to us about that.
Well, a lot of beliefs are based on folklore. Where that one came from, in olden days, houses that faced north, when they opened up the doors or the windows, the north wind would blow in this yellow powdery dust. And so lung disease, emphysema, all kinds of sickness would happen. Well, then if you opened up the south door, there wasn't that gunk coming into your home. That's what that's based off of, Vicki. It has nothing to do with feng shui. It had to do with weather.
Well, I am so glad that I brought that up. And then I'm gonna throw a couple of more out there, because this could really help a lot of people. Because I used to go, when I was looking for houses years ago, Diana, I tell the real estate agent, only homes facing the south. And she's like, okay, Vicki. All right, well, good luck. But the other one is in the valley. I even had a real estate agent said, don't buy a home that's in the valley. You know, in like you going down a long hill to get to a house, because that's stuck energy that gets stuck in the valley, as opposed to level or even on a mountaintop where you've got fresh air coming in. Talk to us about that.
Well, you just hit the nail right on the head, and it's about airflow.
Okay, well, that makes sense to me, because I don't look for homes in a valley. You know, because
smog is heavy, and so it's heavier than air. So, you know, in the valleys, you're going to see more smog than you do in the higher elevation cities.
Because I know when we go to the city, we come back and we just take a breath. We drive up our mountaintop and we just breathe. We don't have radio on. We don't have any energies. We open the windows, even if it's freezing. Oh, just give us some air, some fresh air. And we just sit there with the sunroof open.
Well, and it's valleys, and it's also, there's a rule of thumb that you don't want your front door below street level. And that comes from, again, it's more of a philosophical conversation that, you know, if you decline, that is dishonor. You want to be going up, which is about honor. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Because I know I personally, and I'm presuming you do this as well, I've had, you know, the places in my, all the furniture in my house, even the mirrors have been certainly located in a certain way and in a certain position. And now you work with all of that when you go into someone's home, don't you?
I do help with, finishes, which would be flooring, walls, placement of furniture. But the form of feng shui that works with mirrors and crystals, that's more the Western approach. I don't practice that because I don't think that that's strong enough to affect the building. And if the building, you know, think of it, the building is attached to the ground. When it's having a bad day, it can't get up and go to the park. So the more negativity that continues to build, the more it attracts. So with classic feng shui, that again, it goes back to, and I'm not trying to make one better than the other. Don't interpret it that way. But when you diagnose the energy and you come up with a specific action plan, not the cookie cutter, put this in your love corner kind of thing, then when the building feels better, it thanks the occupants.
Okay. All right. Well, I just, you know, you had mentioned earlier on, now in today's market, if somebody's to buy a home, they do not have to disclose whether someone was there, whether it was a crime there. But there was a home here in the North Georgia Mountains where there were, it was a 100-year-old home at this point, 120-year-old home, and there were two murders in that home. And the people knew it when they bought the home, and I know these folks. But as they continue to live there, Diana, and this is, goes back to why people need your services, is that they became alcoholics, both of them. They had serious health issues. And they, one of them ended up, a very, very dear friend of mine who actually is a lawyer. And he was actually my mentor, ended up going to jail for domestic violence. And I had gone to their home years ago when I first met them. And when I walked in the house, I said to myself, I knew something had happened. And I sat outside with him. I said, do you mind if we just sit outside? He said, oh, no, not at all. And I said, well, I have to make a comment. There was something traumatic happened in this home. And he said, oh, well, you just read the newspaper. And I said, well, no, I just moved here. So tell me about, what do you mean, did I read the newspaper? And he said, well, 4 or 5 years ago, it was in the newspaper about what happened here. And I said, well, sorry, but I just moved here, so I have no idea what you're talking about. And he said, well, there were two murders here, you know, 100 years ago. And that was 100 years before, Diana. And this is what I want people to understand about how valuable your work is, that those energies stay. They stay. There were There were no renovations of the home, no energy works. These were folks that didn't believe in all that. So, and I don't know what they're doing now. They've kind of kind of left the society in the sense that
so they were not managing their energy, and now it's managing them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a very strong statement. Now, I want to talk about how folks reach you. I want to know, you know, do they go to your website? Is that the best way to contact you?
My company name is intuitiveconcepts.com. And I really do encourage people to read the blog. I love research. You know, I love, give me the facts, ma'am, kind of thing. And then I have a toll-free number, which is 866-689-6891. Those numbers were chosen for a reason.
So you get into numerology a little bit then?
No, I'm not into numerology, but everything resonates in energy, and there are certain numbers that resonate more positive energy. Okay. So,
say those numbers again now.
866-689-6891. Okay. And I just want to mention, because of my health challenges over the years, you know, I've worked with hospitals and medical clinics and such, so I've had physicians who write a prescription for me to work with their patient, and in a couple dozen cases, the patients were terminal. They had 6 to 18 months left. In all cases, after doing feng shui, the people have gone into remission, and we even have a wedding on my blog.
I will look forward to reading that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it has been such a pleasure. We still have a few more minutes. It's amazing to me that you have this incredible service to give to people, and that, you know, you spent your life in a Fortune 100 company, and now you're doing this incredible service for folks. Now, you travel, I know we talked earlier about this, you travel around the country to go to people's homes or businesses.
I go to where the site is. I know that there's practitioners that will do it via Google Earth and all this kind of stuff. I'm not one of those people. I want to be on site because, number one, I love what I do. I've got a trained eye. I see things that I wouldn't even be able to explain to people to look for, but I'm also an intuitive. That's the name of my company, Intuitive Concepts. So they get the whole package. You know, they get my corporate background. You know, they get my life experience. They get the feng shui. They get the intuitive. I want to experience the space as the people do, because then I can serve them so much better. You know, I can't via pictures figure out if there's a presence there. You know, I want to be on site. And typically, you know, when they want to communicate, I'm able to do that interpretation for them, and everybody benefits. So I actually, I go where the client is, and I've worked in Australia and West Indies and all kinds of places. So,
now, you don't have an Australian accent.
Oh, I wish I did, but
I bet your mother has one. You said your family was from there.
Well, everybody thought she was from Boston. And over time, of course, you know, she lost a lot of it, but yeah, I love talking to my cousins and all of that. And I can pick it up pretty quickly.
I think that would be so fun to have Australian accent. So you have it's exciting to me because I have so much more I could ask you, but I know that we're coming to the end. But I just want folks, if you're in a business, and I will give a good example. I know, Diana, that you would probably love doing this, but going to law firms, you know, people they're struggling in their law firm and they're wondering why their business is not doing well, or they're, you know, with lawyers go through a lot of stress. I know because I am a lawyer, and or medical offices, or just all kinds of businesses you can go to. I mean, I think that's just fabulous that you have that ability to do that. I really do. I think it's just been such a blessing to have you on the show tonight, Diana.
Thank you.
Diana Garber with Intuitive Concepts. So thank you so very much. I hope people will call 866-689-6891 to talk to Diana. Go to her website, read her blog. That is a funny word, isn't it? It's a funny word. And I just want to thank each and every one of you, especially Sandy, for calling in. And I hope you got your questions answered, Sandy. If not, you can go. Well, I think Diana answered them. And you can also learn even more by going to her website. So I want to thank each and every one of you listening tonight to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and Diana Garber. We welcome you to come back each Sunday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Find something this week to be in gratitude about. And for each of you, be blessed. And good night.
Good night.